Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Today, our reflection is from our curate, the Reverend David Wilkie, entitled Hidden Figures.
Genesis 25.
This is the length of Abraham's days, 175 years. Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. His sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah in the field of Ephron, near Zohar the Hittite, east of Mamre, the field that Abraham purchased from the Hittites. There Abraham was buried with his wife Sarah. After the death of Abraham, God blessed his son Isaac, and Isaac settled at Beer Laharoi. These are the descendants of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean of Padanaram, sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord granted his prayer. And his wife Rebekah conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it is to be this way, why do I live?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples born of you shall be divided. One shall be stronger than the other, the elder shall serve the younger." When her time came to give birth was at hand, there were twins in her womb. The first came out red, all his body like a hairy mantle. So they named him Esau. Afterwards, his brother came out with his hand gripping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. When the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man living in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he was fond of game, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking a stew, Esau came in from the field and he was famished. Esau said to Jacob, "Let me eat some of that red stuff, for I'm famished." Therefore he was called Edom. Jacob said, "First, sell me your birthright." Esau said, "I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me?" Jacob said, "Swear it to me first." So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and lentil stew, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright.
2 Timothy 1:1 to 14.
Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Jesus Christ. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Jesus Christ before the beginning of time, but it is now being revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I am anointed a herald and an apostle and teacher. This is why I'm suffering as I am. Yes, I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Jesus Christ. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us.
So I always try and think about what connects these verses, and it made me, I had to wonder for some time, but I think I got there. So let's see where this goes. So looking at the story of Jacob and Esau, I was just thinking about my own girls and how different they are, and how even though, you know, from the moment in the womb, their characters, the way they look, the way they are so different. And these guys are twins, and yet they are so different. One's really hairy and the other one's not. Yeah. And they're into different things. They're made differently. And I just think that's incredible, really. And so we've got a baby boy growing in my wife and Donna's womb at the moment, and he is behaving very differently to the girls. So the girls were always head down in perfect position for a birth, and they stayed there. They kicked and stuff, but they didn't do these forward flips and stuff that he's doing. One moment he's kicking downwards, next moment it's up in our ribs, and then it's sideways, and he's doing these flips and wriggles and going on here. And we're quite late on now, so we're due in a few weeks, and he's keeping us guessing. But it made me think how different they are from, you know, even in the womb. And that is just, it blows my mind. And I'm sorry if I yawned during the scripture reading there. It wasn't because it was boring. It's because my girls are playing like musical beds at the moment. They're all like getting up and moving around, and I don't know who's in what's bed at the moment. And some of them, one of them's a really good sleeper. The other two aren't. And anyway, they're all waking each other up at some certain times of night, but they're all so different. And it's also wonderful. It's something to really rejoice in, even when it's thoroughly confusing and exhausting. So that's my reflection on that. But there is this point here that there's this social status at work here. So normally the older brother gets the inheritance. He gets, you know, he has the power, he carries on the inheritance. And it's Jacob who gets it. And he does it through cooking a stew. And usually are more complicated ways, but he cooks a stew and Esau hands over his birthright. And there's something that, like, throughout the Old Testament, there are stories of God using the hidden figure. So, you know, the person who is the lowest. So David is the youngest brother. Joseph is the youngest brother. You know, the people who are hidden. And there's women that keep appearing throughout the scriptures who are being used by God. And you're just like, yeah, God doesn't see people or the things that we think we've set up for good reasons, a social structure, a caste system, or whatever however we look at it in culture, that sometimes needs challenging and broken apart. And last night I was watching Hidden Figures. Has anyone seen that? It's this amazing film of these three black women who work for NASA. And it's all to do with the moon landing and the incredible, they're geniuses. They are amazing, but they're always going against this racist culture. They're put down, and there it's called Hidden Figures because they are key at getting these men to the moon. And without them and their super math brains, and one's an amazing computer programmer, and the people look at them and think, you shouldn't be able to do this, but they can, because they've been given that gift by God from a very early age. One of them was like, you're a math prodigy, and she had to fight to get into schools and to do stuff, and all the way it was a constant fight, yet she's been given this gift by God. And I love how he upsets that order. So as we look around us today, we need to always think about how we're constructing people, how we're putting people in boxes, and are we squashing God's gift that he's given them? So then in Timothy, we go to this idea of being ashamed. So we have a social construct of the day, and it's through Caesar, through the Romans. So if you're looked down on, you, if you're, especially if you're in prison, you are shunned, you are despised. You're like, you know, you're not someone who's good to hang out with, because you'll have less friends. Your business might not do as well. Today, if you've only got, you know, your friends on Facebook might unfriend you, that kind of thing. Like, oh, I don't want to be associated with that person because they said this or they did this. And so this idea of being ashamed, like Paul says, I am not ashamed. You know, I'm here because I'm preaching the gospel. And again, Jesus comes and he turns our social construct upside down. We do things for God and because of the grace that he's given us, that we can see the world differently. So yeah, we'll be ashamed of some of the things that we're formerly proud of. and proud of some of the things which previously have made us ashamed. And so yeah, he gets us to see the world differently when we give our lives to Christ. So our task is to be faithful and responsible before God, and because he is utterly faithful and reliable for us. There will be times when we are ashamed, when we feel like we're the lowest, when we're marginalized, or people just, you know, we think differently. And in those times, to hold on to God and ask for God's help, but know that he might work through that situation, that he might use you if you're the youngest brother, or maybe you're not tall enough, or you're a woman, or you're black, or you're, you know, all these different things that we have social constructs about, or disabled, that God can use anyone. So this morning, I want to pray really to open our eyes to our hidden codes and assumptions and boxes that we put people in, and ask God to use us in whichever, you know, in the form that we are in, and ask for his strength not to be ashamed of our views of who we are, who we're made to be in God, and the task that he's given us. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you use the unexpected people throughout scriptures. As Moses comes to the holy place with the burning bush, he's an outcast, a murderer, a wanderer in the desert, and yet you speak directly to him to save your chosen people. And God, I thank you that the ultimate threat of the powers in Jesus' day was the power of death, was crucifixion. And when Jesus died and then rose again, he broke that power. He broke their ultimate weapon. And Lord, I thank you that you keep on turning this world upside down. And as your kingdom comes, it keeps on opening our eyes to new possibilities, to seeing people through your eyes and not our own. So Lord, I pray against unhelpful social constructs that we have around us. As we judge people on clothing or the wealth or health or fame, Lord, would you help us to see beyond all those surface things? Would you help us to see the hearts and the gifts that you have given people? And Lord, I thank you that you're gracious and you're a generous God. So would you use us today, God, and would you use the unexpected people to keep on surprising us? Help us to see the hidden figures in our town, in our church, in our lives. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.